All right. Well, thank you so much for having us back. It's been a really great honor to be with St. Bernard's of Tracy this year. And in case you haven't noticed from the theme, right, this year, we're really looking at understanding ourselves better so that we can understand how we were created by God. We were created in love and for love. And the more we can learn to kind of read the map in our own hearts of who God made us to be and what he made us for, the more we can live in full surrender and in full joy of what he really desires for us. Right? Scripture tells us that he knows well the plans he has for us. Can you finish the phrase? Do you all know it? Jeremiah 29? For his plans are for our good, not for our woe. And sometimes, if you're like me, you get a little off track and you start to doubt that. Am I the only one? Like, Lord, why are you keeping me here? This can't be for my good, right? Maybe we know that God is going to work everything out for good, but maybe we don't really feel it in our hearts sometimes, yeah? So this year is a year of formation, of understanding who we are so that we can discern better with the Lord and grow in trust in him, in what he's doing in our lives. So tonight, we're going to specifically talk about your supernatural charisms. Has anyone heard that term before? I'd like to know if it's new. Has anyone heard of the St. Catherine of Siena Institute? Yeah, how many? Show hands. Good, good. That's helpful for me, just context, because I don't want to be repeating myself a lot. Oops, sorry. I licked the microphone. That's a first. I went to lick the page to move the page and just automatic in my brain. Wow, that's what you don't want to do, right? Oh my goodness. Well, nothing like comic humor to get us started, right? Now I'm going to actually lick the page properly. All right. I always have a funny thing with the microphones wherever I go. So we're going to, the schedule for tonight, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about what supernatural charisms are, how they were given to us, a little bit about our baptism, what happened during baptism. And then we're gonna have a break in about half an hour. So I just set my little timer here so that I actually give you a break this time. We're gonna have a little break where we're just gonna spend time alone in silence. Now I know the Blessed Sacrament is not here, right? But of course we have the remnants, right? We know that this is where we receive him in Holy Mass from time to time. So we are in a sacred place. Right? A lot of prayer happens here. So you can, if you want, because it's a little cold outside, you can go into the chapel and just kind of find a place to sit on your own. If you want to stay out here, you may. But I really suggest that for that break, we all remain in silence. It's Friday. It's Lent. When do you really give yourself permission to just hear the voice of the Father speaking to your heart? Yeah, maybe like me, it's just when you're driving, like in this crazy traffic I had tonight. I don't mind driving 10 hours to get somewhere, but boy, just even 1 hour in 5 mile traffic, nothing supernatural comes out of me during that time. I was trying to pray my rosary and then I prayed my chaplet and I was like, Lord, this is the worst rosary I've ever prayed because I'm just, you know, trying not to hit the guy in front of me. So we're going to take advantage. I'll cue you when it's time and Letty will help me pass out some questions. Very simple questions, 3 or 4 questions. You do not have to answer them all. They're meant as a tool to help you encounter the Lord. Maybe you get to your prayer time and you're like, I don't even want to look at the questions. I already know what I want to ponder. That's fine. Just give yourself permission to be with the Lord in that space the way you need to. And we'll have about 20 minutes of a break. You can also go to the bathroom, whatever you want to do, grab a coffee. And then we'll have our next session, which is diving deeper into what the supernatural charisms are, what the signs are to know what charisms we have, and how to be able to discern what charisms we have. There's actually a process of discernment, and we want to talk about that tonight. Then, after that session, we're going to end with discussion groups. Each of your tables is going to be given some discussion questions, and that's where we want, you could talk by that time, that's where we want you to get really interactive with one another I think you're all part of the same parish, yeah? St. Bernard's, maybe some of you neighboring. Is there only one Catholic church in Tracy? You could probably be three. This is such a large parish, yeah? Okay, praise God, right? This is an amazing, I tell everybody about you, by the way. When I go back to San Jose, I rave about St. Bernard's, so it's an amazing parish. And I was born on St. Bernard of Clairvaux's feast day, so he's a guy for me. All right, so what this is gonna do for you is aliven your parish. So we're gonna ask the Holy Spirit to really be in your groups as you answer these questions, because we want, as a parish and as the body of Christ, to affirm one another, to see what another, what their gift is, to help build up the body of the church. And we believe that when we discern as a group, the Holy Spirit is extra present. He's always present in us, but when we come together as sisters in Christ, there's just something magical that happens. So at the end of your discussion, I'm going to have somebody from each table stand up and share a little bit about what their group discussion was like. And I'm sure Letty is going to take notes. And bring them back to all of your priests, right? And say, hey, this is what came alive at the woman's evening, the faith family in Cabernet, right? Something came alive that night, and we're able to discern charisms for this parish. All right, so let's get started here. As Pope Francis wrote, on the occasion of the Extraordinary Mission Month in 2019, all Christians have a missionary mandate. Are you all Christians? Yes. Is anybody here not? Because we can make that happen tonight, free of charge. Yeah? You have so many sisters here in Christ that can help you. All Christians have a missionary mandate. Who has a missionary mandate? That means us, yes? This missionary mandate touches us personally. I am a mission, always. You are a mission. Always. Every baptized man and woman is a mission. Wow, we got 21 Californian missions here, but how many hundreds of thousands of people are missions themselves, right? Living tabernacles of the Lord dwelling in them. We are a mission site, and we are not crumbling like San Antonio Mission, right? We're standing erect like Carmel and Santa Clara, yes? Okay, because we are a mission. And people in love never stand still. They are drawn out of themselves. They are attracted, and they attract others in turn. They give themselves to others and build relationships that are life-giving. This again was Pope Francis. Gotta love our Pope, yeah? Let's remember him tonight in prayer. When we are baptized, I know this is not new for many of you Catholics, maybe it is, but we have what is called a baptismal call. We were commissioned as Christians the day we were baptized. We are called by our baptism. Now I've got the slides here. I've got to remember the slides. I'm not very technical, and y'all ladies, you got to take the QR code with your phone right now. This was my daughter's idea. So, I'm so proud of myself for making this slide, but my daughter was like, QR code, Mom, don't forget the QR code. Y'all gotta take the QR code so that you don't miss signing up for our newsletter, so that you can be part of partnering with other women who wanna grow in their faith, who wanna be on retreats, pilgrimages, who wanna hear classes, who wanna grow in spirituality, who wants to grow in their spirituality, yes? And who wants to experience their authentic identity in Christ? Yes? Guys, come on, a little higher. Yes? Yes? And who wants to experience authentic sisterhood? Yes. And who wants to build up and be built up by authentic sisters in Christ? Yes? QR code. When you get to the website, it's going to ask you to sign up. Don't make me go home and see that there was only one subscriber. You got to sign up. So by baptism, we were called to follow Christ and to make him and his gospel known and present in the world. Am I making Christ known and present in the world? Am I making his gospel present in the world? In short, we are sent out in the world as his missionary disciples. Each one of us has a baptismal call. We aren't fulfilled when we don't live from it. We suffer, others suffer. Indeed, the whole body of the church is lacking when I don't live my baptismal call. Sherry Waddell, in her book, Fruitful Discipleship, which is what we are referring to tonight. We're talking about fruitful discipleship and the supernatural charisms that enable us to be fruitful disciples. She has a great quote in this book. She said, "There is no such thing as missional unemployment for the baptized." That's a pretty great quote. Okay, see, already I missed some slides. That was a great quote from Pope Francis. All right. We're going to go through what the charisms mean, what are the different charisms, and how do I know which ones I have there. That was a cute one I was waiting for baptism. Maybe I'm just going to move this ahead a bit so I can look on the bigger one with y'all. Okay, so we are all called by baptism to follow Christ and make him known and loved and present in the world, yes? Supernatural charisms, what we're talking about tonight, they are the gift given to us by the Holy Spirit, not for our own use. It's a gift given to us to give away. Can you imagine it's Christmas time, right? You go under the tree, and there's a bunch of gifts marked to Judy from Mom, you know? To Judy from Dad. And then you got a whole bunch of gifts over here in the corner, and they've got big red bows on them. And it says, through Judy for others. That's what supernatural charisms are. All right, so the gifts that we receive under our Christmas tree at baptism, right, they're meant for our salvation, which we call our sanctifying gifts, and they're also meant for others, which we call gratuitous gifts. So let's talk about the sanctifying gifts. The first gifts that we receive at our baptism are an infusion of faith, hope, and love. Which, by the way, do you all ask for more? You know, as Christians, as Catholics, we're really called to ask every day. You remember the old tradition? It shouldn't be an old tradition. Every morning, ask for more, like kids waiting for Christmas every morning. Lord, give me more faith today. Give me more hope today, especially in the year of hope. And give me more love today. We are called to ask for more of the Father. So these gifts that were given at baptism, they're meant to be asked for over and over again and deepened. The other gifts that we were given, the seven gifts that you all know of, this is again gifts for myself. Gifts to get me to heaven. They're called sanctifying gifts. They are, and I know you all memorized this, right? If you did the Baltimore Catechism, right? The New Catechism, it's the same deal, right? Wisdom, counsel, understanding, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord. And you have that memorized, right? That's okay. I was like, wait, what are they again? Okay. All right. Now we have also individual gifts. Those special ones with the red bow through Judy for others, those are called supernatural charisms. And we often don't hear about them, but we see them activated in the church. And then we have the fruits of the Spirit. Those are different. Those are 12 fruits of the Spirit, like joy, patience, right? Kindness. And those are gifts that are actually formed in us throughout life, right? We partner with the Lord to grow in those gifts. All right, so we have, oh, look at that. My L went all the way down there. Is there something I'm doing wrong with it? No. Okay. Well, maybe I wasn't so braino doing the slides for the first time. I was really proud of myself. Like, I'm going to have these beautiful All right, so we have different types of individual supernatural charisms. Those big red bow gifts, again, that are given to us at baptism, they're gifts given for us to give away. There's three different types. There's the individual types, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
And then there are hierarchical and foundational. So the hierarchical gifts, we'll start with that. Hierarchical gifts are usually seen in the priesthood or religious life. For instance, a priest at ordination is given the gift of being able to forgive sins in confession, right? He's given the gift to give extreme unction to the sick, right? Okay, we also have the gift that the Holy Father has of papal infallibility. That's a supernatural charism meant as a gift that he received as Pope to give to others, right? It's not for his own sanctification. It's a gratuitous gift. It's a charism. But it's not an individual charism. It is meant for the whole of the church through the church institution. Lastly, we have foundational charisms. Foundational charisms are often what we think of first when we hear the word charisms. Can anyone guess what a foundational charism might mean or be? Sorry, somebody's locked out. Let's see if she's got the individual charism of service. Yes. All right, great job, Letty. Woo! Welcome. So foundational charisms are charisms that are given to individuals to build up the body of Christ in a very particular way. I'll give you a hint. Mother Teresa, St. Francis of Assisi. They were founders that had been given a very particular charism that was meant to belong to an entire group or group of people or body in the church. The foundational charism of extreme poverty, Mother Teresa's sisters live that. Right? They love the poor. So that's a group charism that is meant for the missionary sisters. Now, that doesn't mean Mother Teresa didn't have her own individual charisms, like her tenacity. Not every missionary charity has Mother Teresa's tenacity. That's okay. They all have the foundational charism of extreme poverty. Okay, so individual charisms, gifts I have that I meant to give away, right, that are expressed uniquely through me. I have a signature move that's just my own, right? Unrepeatable. Hierarchical charisms, gifts through the priesthood particularly, but also through the religious life and through the papacy. Then foundational charisms. Okay, so you dream up of an idea, right? Some kind of beautiful charism of the Holy Spirit, and a group gathers around you and resonates with that charism. Yeah? All right. So supernatural charisms, they are like our storehouse weapons. They're given to us at baptism to live out our baptismal call, to make Christ present in the world. And they're the special way or the signature move, the secret sauce that you have for making Christ known and making his gospel known. When we use other weapons that are not maybe our own, maybe we grab a sledgehammer, because Jennifer always uses a sledgehammer and it seems to work, so I'm gonna try it. And it's like Thor's hammer, like I can't seem to do what she does. I so wanna be like Jennifer, but it really is heavy when I try. But when I go lift up the weapon that's meant for me, maybe the sword, I'm like, this doesn't even do anything for me. It's so effortless. That's what our individual charisms are like. They're like weapons for me to bring Christ to others and to make his gospel known. And they're effortless for me because they were fashioned for me. When I try to use weapons outside of my tool house, they actually drain me. Discernment. Tonight we're going to talk about discernment. And this is a helpful thing to remember. When we are discerning what our individual charisms are, one of the tools here in discernment is that it be effortless. When we discern what our charisms are, it's like clues on the map of who I am and what I'm supposed to do. If picking up a sword is effortless for me, but picking up a sledgehammer is super hard, I'm probably supposed to use a sword in battle, right? So it's a key to discernment. When I look at the individual charisms I was given, I can look at the choices that I have to make ahead of me, and I can ponder with the Lord,
Oh, what tools did you give me in my toolbox? This is a big clue on what you want me to do in my life. And if I use the tools outside of my toolbox, I'm going to be drained. We can burn ourselves out. Who has been burned out in ministry? Probably no one, right? Who has been burned out in ministry? Who's been burned out at anything? This is the number one reason people come to hear about charisms with us, because they're burned out and they want the Holy Spirit to flow as it's meant to flow through them effortlessly. Not to say that we don't suffer, right? But there isn't this sense of overwhelm and burnout when we live according to the charisms. We can burn out easily by doing the wrong things. So it's essential to come to know and understand what we are equipped for. I have a little quote here. Grace also includes the gifts that the Spirit grants us to associate us with His work, to enable us to collaborate in the salvation of others and in the growth of the body of Christ, the church. These are special graces, charisms, as St. Paul referred to, meaning favor, gratuitous gift. It's important here to remember that manifesting a charism is not necessarily a sign of holiness or a guarantee that one is exercising the gift in a saintly way. Nonetheless, through the charisms, God can use us to remove impediments to faith and open other people's hearts and minds to that which does convey sanctifying grace. That is why St. Paul says, "Pursue love, but strive eagerly for the spiritual gifts." So supernatural charisms, we talked about them being these gratuitous gifts that are not meant for ourselves. I want to point here to the catechism. It's really, even though I kind of repeat myself here, I think this is important to see that we didn't pull this out of a hat, right? This comes from scripture. This comes from years of tradition in the church. So if you're into catechism numbers, you can memorize these ones, 798, 799, 800, and 801. 798, the Holy Spirit is the principle of every vital and truly saving action in each part of the body. He works in many ways to build up the whole body in charity by God's word, which is able to build you up. By baptism, through which he forms Christ's body. By the sacraments, which give growth and healing to Christ's members. And by the grace of the apostles, which holds first place among his gifts. By the virtues which make us act according to what is good. Finally, by the many special graces, charisms, by which he makes the faithful fit and ready to undertake various tasks and offices for the renewal and building up of the church. Whether extraordinary or simple and humble, charisms are graces of the Holy Spirit which directly or indirectly benefit the church, ordered that they are needed to build her up for the good of men and the needs of the world. Charisms are to be accepted with gratitude by the person who receives them. Maybe you have a charism of public speaking and you go, oh, anyone experience that? You kind of know that there's something that you do that benefits others, but you might not be so happy with it at first. We actually praise God when we give him gratitude for the charisms that he has given us. They are wonderfully rich grace for apostolic vitality and for the holiness of the entire body of Christ. It is in this sense that discernment of charisms is always necessary. I can't stress this enough to you. Discernment of charisms is necessary. This is not some quote from a book. This is what the church teaches in the catechism. Wow, they really emphasize this. You can't just pick a charism. It has to be discerned. No charism is exempt from being referred and submitted to the church shepherds. Whoa, I can't just be given a gift and give it how I like. I have to work in cooperation with the church, right? My local pastor, my bishop. And that's how we really surrender our gifts. They do not belong to us. I don't like it when I hear the term, what are my charisms, right? It's what are the gifts I've been given to give? So the church teaches us a few things about charisms. Some of them I already mentioned. They're given to us at baptism. They are to be received with gratitude. We need to have knowledge of them and discern them well. Here's another one. We have a right and duty to use them in the church. A right and a duty. Well, when would I not have a right and duty to use my charisms in the church? And yet, sometimes we do experience that, right? Maybe we have a very beautiful gift to give and we get pushback, right? This is a church is both sinful and sinner and saint, right? Yes. So there have been hurts and harms in the church where maybe our gifts aren't always well received, right? And that can be very painful. The church actually tells us we have a right and duty to use the gifts in the church. We are also called to activate them and be co-responsible for them. Each of us has a unique contribution to make. The church also teaches us that we must be given proper help and accompaniment to use them. And yet, for some of us, this is the first time we've even heard the term. But the church itself teaches that we need to accompany our people to understand and use their charisms. Discernment of charisms needs to be active. So we're going to look at how charisms sometimes emerge in our life. Charisms are given at baptism, right? But who of you know a six-month-old walking around that just knows it's meant to be an evangelist? Yeah, maybe. Well, my child, I take that back. he's been an evangelist since he was a baby. Last night, you know, during prayer after the rosary, he's like, hold on. I got a message.
Oh gosh.
The rest of my kids are like just rolling their eyes because they've never been like that. And he's like, God is asking for more hope in our family. And I'm like, gosh, child, you're six. You're six. So at different points of our life, charisms may emerge. But oftentimes we see charisms emerge after a test or trial in our faith. Kind of when we kind of made it through a valley or a peak, maybe we've learned a lesson about ourselves and about God and we've received some growth, then there's some space carved out for us to identify the Holy Spirit working in our life. All of our charisms are really mostly meant to stay for our life, but you can lose them, and you can be given something called a temporary individual charism. So I'm going to tell you a story about my mom. My mom's amazing. She has a lot of charisms. Very different from me. We're a very different personality, and God has given us different gifts. My mom has the charism of intercessory prayer. I call her almost every day, Mom, I'm doing this. Mom, I'm doing that. Can you pray? God even blessed her so much that when she was looking for a place to stay in her new town, she was able to rent a condo attached to the church. And there is a tunnel that leads, like in the wintertime in Canada. She just goes underneath into a tunnel, and whoop, up she is in an adoration chapel that no one's ever in. My mom, who always wanted to be a nun, couldn't be a nun. She had me instead, my two brothers. Well, now she has her, you know, her prized possession in the Lord. And I love visiting her. So my mom has a lot of charisms, and intercessory prayer is one of them. So because it's a gift given to others, my mom offers for others. I'll tell you a little bit more about the effectivity of charisms in a moment, and then we'll get to the juicy stuff. I'm just kind of going through the boring stuff right now. Are you bored?
Yeah?
No? Okay, well, this is the boring part, so yoo-hoo! all right, I want to tell you a personal story about my mom. My mom, we had a little bit of a tragedy. When my mom was pregnant with me, my father left her for another woman, and she had, can you imagine, a six-year-old boy was handicapped, and then my older brother is 4 years older, and she was 7 months pregnant with me. My mom had no idea
She was like, my mom is a gem of a woman. She came from a really like beautiful farming family where her brothers were like praying the rosary every night. And my mom never saw it coming. She was so good to my dad. She made many excuses for him. But she was also a farm kid, so she didn't have a whole lot of like awareness of things like addiction. And my dad was an addict. A lot of drinking, stole a lot of money from my mom. And we never met him, by the way. When he left for good, which is a blessing. I really feel that. But my mom had a really, was that from me? Sorry, I just claimed it when she was walking by.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm getting over something from, I'm fine, but she knows I've been on the road so much lately and I ended up with like a bronchial thing 3 weeks ago, so it comes and goes. So my mom had this supernatural experience where she was given the temporary charism of prophecy. And I know my mom, she has no prophecy in her. That's me, that's not her. And we can tease each other about the charisms. I do not have the charism of intercessory prayer. A lot of people think I do, so they send me all their prayer intentions. But my charism is more of a networking charism. So I have about 50 to 60 intercessors that work for me. So if you give me your prayer intention, it's covered. By morning, it's done. I just send it out through WhatsApp because that's the part that I'm good at. But when I pray, it's like, oh, like my prayer is more my personal prayer feels deep, but I feel like nothing I pray forever. Like, you know, things happen, but it happens when I ask my intercessors. So we all have our part to play in the puzzle of the church. So my mom has no prophecy. My mom was pregnant with me, and lo and behold, she thought everything was great. There's a knock at the door. There's a mail for her. She says, what's this? She received a letter. It was a return letter. Somehow it went to the wrong address, and it came back to her. It was a letter my dad had sent to the woman he was having an affair with. Can you imagine, 7 months pregnant? Totally wonderful, innocent woman, naive. I don't mean that as a put-down naive. I mean as a virtue at that time. She never expected that. Can you imagine? She said, when I was born, I was head to toe purple from probably all the uterine stress, right? How much my mom carried during that time. So this is what the Lord does. This is what the Lord does. He makes everything straight for us, right? He's always working for our good. The Lord gave my mom a temporary charism in that moment. This is 49 years ago, 50 years ago. I'll be 50 in a few months. Yay. Well, that's hard to say. This was 50 years ago. No email, you know, she barely had a phone, right? Those old whatever phones. Probably didn't have a phone book. She lived in Alberta, Canada, which was far away from the West Coast, maybe 20-hour drive. She also didn't know where in the world my dad was. And I say world because he was a helicopter pilot for the Canadian Army. He was always in Ethiopia. He was in Tuktoyaktuk, way up in the Northwest Territories. She did not know where he was when she received this note. She got on her knees, she was crying, and she heard a voice say, call the Bayshore Hotel in Vancouver, Canada. My mom's never been to Vancouver, Canada. She didn't know what hotel this was, but she knew she had to listen to that voice. She got on the phone and she called the Bayshore Hotel. She also heard the Holy Spirit tell her, ask for the woman on the mail, ask for her room. Wow, right? This is the Holy Spirit. Amazing. This has always been one of my favorite childhood stories. I know it's kind of dark, but I just love it because it's chock full of the Holy Spirit working through my mom in a way that he never has. So she calls the hotel and asks for this lady, and my dad answered the room. Yeah. Okay, rest of the story you don't need to hear, but that never happened again to my mom. So we are sometimes, during a season of our life, given a temporary charism for a particular need for the church. Well, that might seem weird. It's like, wasn't that an individual thing more for her? No, it was for the church, for me and my brothers, to set us free from that snare, right? So beautiful. So sometimes they can be temporary. Can I lose a charism? Yes. If we try to use a charism for our own sinful means, or we don't use a charism, it can wither away. Just like all good plants, they can die. You might think, well, how can someone use it for their good? Well, I don't want to give you Amy's ideas, but some of you I know have the charism of administration. You could use that charism and try to use it for gambling, lawyering, and all sorts of things, or siphoning funds from the parish. You could use it for evil. Now, what will happen is it will start to dry up because the Holy Spirit won't work with you in that way, right? So you will lose the ability. So let me just look here. We have 7 different categories of charisms. But we have about 23 charisms that we know exist that are more common. And they're put in these different categories. We do not know how many charisms there are. 23 are just kind of the number that we went with. Those are the ones that have been generally discerned. There are a few other ones that are possibilities, but we don't know what they are. We just know they're probably limitless, right? So we have 23 in total that we look at, and we have 7 different types. So I tried to match these slides as best as I could. You know, music, intercessory prayer, creativity, craftsmanship, holy orders or voluntary, poverty, mercy and mission, public speaking, well, it's not really public speaking, but evangelization, teaching, wisdom, knowledge. That one up there was for administration. So we have these 7 different groups: pastoral charisms, communications charisms, organizational charisms, lifestyle healing, understanding charisms, and creative charisms. It sounds like God has like a corporation that came up with this. Like, well, we need to have people to organize, we need to have people to play music, we need to have people to understand, people to offer healing. The Lord loves order, yes? He does. He's pretty fantastic how he made the body of church of the church. All right, so now we are going to take a little deeper look at some of them. Okay, so this first slide here is pastoral care. Oh, again, it did it. I wonder why it didn't do it on the, oh well, I learned, right? You guys can read, yes? And you can laugh, yep. Okay, so pastoral charisms, encouragement. Encouragement, that's often found, you know, in mentors, in psychologists, maybe a spiritual director, right? Encouraging you, motivating you to be the best that you can be. Mm-hmm. Helps is an interesting charism. Helps is different than another charism we have that's called service. It can seem a little bit confusing, but helps is a charism that's uniquely given to someone who is drawn to a particular person or cause to just serve them. They don't care what they do for you. So they're like, I don't know why, but I am really, really, really drawn to Jennifer and her mission. I don't care what she asks me to do, I'm gonna do it. And it's not weird because I'm like, I have an obsession with Jennifer. It's because, it could be, you wanna discern that one, but there's something in you that has kind of highlighted that person for you. I got my gift, it's burning inside me, I'm supposed to help her. If I didn't have helps people working in my ministry, I should have more helps people working in my ministry, clearly, to do my slideshows, right? But helps people, I used to avoid them because I felt guilty asking for help. Until I got to know the charisms and I realized I'm denying somebody their burning gift that they deeply desire to give, and they're not happy until they give it, yeah? So if you have a charism, you really love giving it. And that was hard for me to accept. My husband has the helps charism. He's like, whatever I can do to be the wind beneath your wings. And I'm like, I am not that person, but I'll take it. Like, I don't understand it, but I honor it. So I don't mind leaning on him anymore. I'm like, can you please do that? Like, it makes him so happy. He's like a little boy. He's like, I'm so glad you asked. I do not understand it, but that's great, you know? Such a beautiful charism. The service charism is a little bit different. The service charism is where you, kind of like tonight, whoever set all this up and they just love doing it, it's not because they're doing it for a particular person and their mission. They just love serving anywhere in the church. It's quite beautiful. I know there's a lot of women that have that Martha, right? She might be one of them. Hospitality, again, think Mary and Martha. Wow, a lot of us just love having someone in our home, or you know, the team that sets up tonight. Some of you might have the hospitality charism, and when you're doing it, there's a joy inside of you. Mercy. Mercy is a very particular charism that draws us into looking at someone with the heart of God. Right? We can often see this in people who are missionaries, people who are working with the dying. I'm a nurse and I haven't worked for years, but one of my charisms is mercy at the deathbed. I don't know how God gave me that one, but I love being with the dying. It's like I would drive 100 miles to be at someone's deathbed. It's funny because I thought I didn't have it. I don't mind being a nurse. I like taking care of people, but that doesn't really light my fire. But if you're about to die on there, I couldn't understand it. I was like, what is wrong with me? There's just something so profound about being like a spiritual sister for people when they're dying. Pastoring. Okay, well, you can think right away of your pastor, but a pastor isn't just a priest, right? There are some women who have this charism very beautifully, and they are like shepherdesses to souls. Okay, so these are the pastoral charisms. Oops. Organizational charisms. I know some of you just love this, right? Administration. Woo. Just give me that women's organization and I will put it together properly. All right, some of you get high on that, yeah? Does anyone want to admit that they have that? Because I want to see who you are, so you can work with me. I do not have the administration charism. Leadership, woo, leadership. Some people get in their stomach, they don't want it. And if you're like me, leadership, you're like, that's me, I'm taking it. No problem, from the first day of kindergarten. I'll show you the way to the bathroom, right? No problem, just come alive. It's effortless, right? Okay. Giving. Woo! Some people are actually have a charism where they're meant to give the giving. Do you know anyone like that? Just don't stop giving. And they're not doing it because they're like codependent or enabling. They just want to give. Right? Beautiful. Service. We talked about that in the last slide. Okay, lifestyle charisms. These are very specific ones. The first one, celibacy. I think that says a lot, right? Celibacy, it would be nice if all of our clergy and nuns have this charism. That makes discernment really easy from the get-go. And when I see that come up really high on someone's score, if they're single, that's a really helpful tool for me as a spiritual director. It doesn't mean they have it if they test for it. It has to be discerned. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're called to the religious life. But it is a possible indicator, right? Mine is incredibly low. Okay. Faith. Faith. Actually, it's supposed to say extraordinary faith. Okay? Extraordinary faith. We all have the gift of faith given to us at baptism. We all have the ability to ask for more. Some of us have the gift of extraordinary faith. Okay? Like really extraordinary, meaning you got no money in the bank, and you're called to bring a group of people on a pilgrimage somewhere, and you have 2 days to make a choice, and everyone else says you're crazy, right? And you're like, you know what? The Lord has called me. I'm gonna put everything toward this. And the chances of you losing big time are really big, but you have the means to just plow forward. Not because you're headstrong and self-reliant, that's a possibility, but people with this charism, when they activate it, the Lord parts the waters for them. Moses had this gift. It's rare, but I have seen it and experienced it a lot. Missionary charism. Well, I think that one is a little bit obvious as well. You want to go to the missions, you want to go to Haiti, you want to, but even here in our own backyard, there are some people that just have the ability to like connect with other cultures and just, you know, like just speak their language, just really get in there with them. This is all signs of a missionary charism. Voluntary poverty. Again, that should be on one line. Voluntary poverty, we see that again in Mother Teresa's sisters. We see it in almost all religious orders. People probably have the gift of voluntary poverty. Some lay people have it as well. When they choose to serve, It's not that they don't care about being poor, but they actively choose to not be of the world in that way. This is my favorite one. Healing charisms. The first one is actual healing, right? And that healing can be in many different ways. It can be the charism of physical healing, laying hands on one another. More of you have that charism than you think. It takes a lot of faith, but we are called to set captives free. The Bible tells us that. And we are a mission, right? Pope Francis reminded us that. Probably at each of your tables, there's one or two of you that have a healing gift and don't know it. Because we're not used to the terminology, but it's time for the church to come alive. We're gonna do a little activation prayer tonight to just set the Holy Spirit out on you, to activate those charisms, to make you more aware, to ask your guardian angels to bring clarity. Intercessory prayer, the one I told you that my mama had. So charisms, when they're a gift meant to be given, the Holy Spirit accompanies them. If the Holy Spirit is the one blowing the wind through the instrument, do you think it does what it sets out to do, or do you think it falls flat? If God wants something, nothing can thwart it. Well, how I know I have a charism is if I activate it, it actually has power to do what it's supposed to do. If I have a charism of healing and I lay hands on someone, they will be healed. If I have a charism of intercessory prayer and I pray for you, you will see things happen. There are people in our life that we know, it's like, yeah, when I ask grandma to pray, things actually happen. I'm not asking Jennifer because she's got the voluntary poverty charism. Understanding charisms. Oh man, all these letters. All right, knowledge and wisdom. I think these are kind of self-explanatory, but the gift of knowledge, you'll really see it in people who just like are nerds, like they just, like, I'm one of them with, I have the knowledge charisma, and I cannot get enough of learning. Like, I'll never be done. I hated school, but ever since I got out of school, it's like all I want to do. I don't go back to university, but I'm just self-taught. I'm constantly reading and learning, and knowledge is one of those things that comes easy for me, so I like to absorb it, right? And then if it does what it sets out to do, hopefully what I'm learning actually transmits to others, right? That's a good sign that it's a valid charisma. Wisdom, right? You can see how wisdom can be so helpful in ministry in the church, right? In fact, they say one of the most important aspects of spiritual direction is not so much somebody's training. Really, the most important aspect is their wisdom and prudence and your relationship with them, okay? So I think we have gone through the last one. Okay, maybe I lied, this is my favorite one. I don't have much of it though, so, but I love it when I see. So May 2nd, you're gonna see this come alive because we're coming and we're gonna have a more interactive session. I'm bringing three of my team members out here to do crafting with you, to talk about creativity, about beauty. All three of the women that are coming out have these charisms. One of them is a writer, one of them does music, and one of them is a craftsman. So craftsmanship, music, and writing. I don't have the craftsmanship one, although I can identify it in others really easily because you see, like, okay, look at the table here, right? Lenny and the team. Have you noticed how Lenten this is? Beautiful, right? Someone has the craftsmanship charism. And I'm so glad when they're around because I just make a mess and they make everything beautiful. And if it does what it set out to do, then the Holy Spirit uses that person's craftsmanship ability to bless you. So if I tried to make things nice, you probably wouldn't notice. It might even be really nice. It might even look nicer. But if it's not a charism, it's not going to bless you. But if someone with a craftsmanship charism does something, you feel it. I have a girlfriend who has this charism, and when I go into her house, it's like I'm at the spa. It's just like, like the aestheticism in her home. Everything's so well appointed. I literally feel the Holy Spirit in what she has done. It's incredible. It's a gift to me. I feel that I'm receiving a gift in her home. Hey, it's amazing. And the craftsmanship can be so many things. It could be food, it could be crafts, it could be art, it could be any kind of beauty. It could be even the way a woman presents herself. It just fills your heart. That's beautiful. Okay, music. Now, some of us have great musicians in the church and they do great, But then there's those musicians, and when they play, you pray, right? When they play, you pray. It's because it's not their gift. It's running through them. It's from the Holy Spirit. Writing, same thing. Some writers write because it's a natural skill, and it's okay, and you'll read it. But some writers write, and you can't wait to read it, and it sets your heart on fire. That's a charism. Okay. So let me see. I think we're going to take our little break here before we go to this. So we have a questionnaire for you that we're going to hand out. Now, this is the time. As we're handing this out, I'm just going to pray for you, okay? I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit now to come upon each of you. I just want you to slow down your heart to remember, even in 15 minutes, even in 30 seconds, the Lord can speak to your heart. You have the ability to hear him, to see him, to feel him. He's present with us in each of us right now. Even if you receive nothing in this 15 minutes, he's working in you. So do not worry. Do not overthink. Just be with the Lord. Imagine each of you going to your little spot wherever you're going to be in the next 15 minutes with these questions. And just try to imagine our Lord or our Lady with you. Just being with you. So take this time, go deep, avoid talking with each other. Just give yourself the gift, even a brief gift, to be with one another. You can run through the questions together, and we'll be back in 15 minutes.
I'll turn it on.